WVNN, pro-life news and a bullet point prayer for your week with Copper.
Hello, everyone. Copper here. Welcome to my new show, Prayers for Life. I want to start out by telling you a little bit about myself and why I wanted to start this show. So I am the second oldest of seven kids, really big family. My dad's a pastor. My mom has been a teacher and a stay-at-home mom. And I grew up caring for my siblings a lot. My mom even joked that I was a mini mama or a second mama for my youngest siblings. So I grew up with a great appreciation for children and just a love for little ones. And I also have a very personal story about my name. Now, my real name isn't Copper, but I'm going to just let you know my radio name, Copper, and keep my own name private. But my mom had a miscarriage right before she had me. They were going to name the boy Caleb, and they named me after him when she got pregnant again. And that's always been really special to me, and I believe fully that I will see him again one day. And so it horrifies me hearing stories about people who deliberately abort their children at about the same age that Caleb passed away. And it was pretty early on in the pregnancy that he did. So I truly am passionate about life, about standing up for the unborn children in our country, and for standing up for righteousness. God commands us to care for everyone, and the unborn are among them. So I'm aware, though, that I don't have a super dramatic story like, say, Abby Johnson, who left Planned Parenthood and became an activist. I haven't been through an abortion myself and then turned away from that. So I asked God a lot, why do you want me starting this show? There are others who have better stories. But I was praying and asking him about it, and he really convicted me. I started weeping when reading Psalm 94:16. Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will take a stand for me against evildoers? God wants us to raise our voices and take a stand for what is good and righteous. And as I was praying, I just felt God's presence heavily upon me, so heavily that as I was kneeling and praying, my head bowed down. It became heavy with his presence and fell forward onto my Bible. And that's a pretty clear voice. So I'm going to obey and to take a stand against wickedness. And I hope you will do so alongside me. Now, that is my primary goal, to obey God and to speak out for what is right. But I have two other goals with this show. The second goal is to be informative. There are a lot of different facets to the issue of abortion in our country. There's, of course, the issue of the unborn child, that they are alive and that we should treat them and protect them under the law. There's also the difficulty that single mothers face. Maybe they've been sexually assaulted. Maybe they've been abandoned by their partner. They're dealing with financial troubles. There are just so many different sides to this issue, and it's hard not to get overwhelmed when looking at it. It's easy to think, what can I do about it? There's so much. And to get overwhelmed and to stop thinking about it and praying about it. I know that's happened to me. I've been passionate about this issue, but it's been a while since I've been actively engaged in trying to help people on the ground who are struggling with this. The first thing we can do when trying to understand how to make a difference in other people's lives on behalf of Christ and to show his love is to understand what our enemies are doing and what the people we are desiring to help are going through. My third goal is to encourage everyone to pray to end abortion in our country, to pray for the women and children who are at risk for abortion, to pray for families to become whole again. God commands us all to pray without ceasing. And while not everyone may be called to join a pregnancy resource center and help women who are going through that, or to be an activist or a lawyer fighting against Roe versus Wade, God does call all of us to pray without ceasing and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so I'm going to commit to try to pray a brief prayer each day on this topic. And I'm going to share that prayer with you at the end of each show, a prayer that's relevant to the topic we've discussed each week during the show, so that you know something specific you can pray, a brief bullet point prayer that doesn't get so overwhelming. it's not bad to pray a short prayer sometimes. I know personally, I feel like I need to have a really meaningful prayer to pray for an hour and really feel it in order for it to count. And that's not true. And Satan wants us to think it's true so that we don't pray. But when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he gave them a few lines, the Lord's Prayer. It's very brief. Now, we want to pray longer than that, but it's better than not praying for abortion. So I want to give you all a brief prayer and invite you to commit with me to pray as often as you're able, whether that's a couple days a week or every day of the week. Now, there's some urgency to this that I want you to keep in mind, because Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization is a Supreme Court case that's coming up this fall. This is the best chance we've had in over a decade to overturn Roe versus Wade. And there's really some urgency here. So now is the time to pray. Now is the time to commit. You don't have to commit to pray every day for abortion for the rest of your life. But for the next couple months, I invite you to commit alongside me to pray for abortion to end in our country. Imagine if every Christian in the United States of America prayed just a one-minute prayer every day. Think of the hundreds of thousands of voices going up to God. Would he not end abortion even sooner? That is what I long for. There's a verse from Scripture that I want to make the theme of this show. Isaiah 1:16-17 says, "Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow." Now, this is very important to God. He says this kind of thing repeatedly in Scripture. He cares for the oppressed, for the foreigners, for the poor, for the orphans. Abortion is an issue that hurts all of those people. Abortion is really one of the worst evils there is, because it takes advantage not only of innocent children, but of vulnerable women, of foreigners, of minorities, of the poor who feel like they can't provide for their own child. And so I want us to remember that God is very passionate about this issue. He wants us to stand up for these people, to make a difference in their lives, for his sake, as well as for their sakes. So let us remember that as we start this journey of learning more about the laws of abortion in this country, the issues facing young women and children. Come alongside me to learn, study, pray, and above all, obey and praise God's laws and his righteousness. We will be back shortly with a Front Lines highlight, where I'll share some stories about people who are on the front lines fighting against abortion and for life. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute.
This has been Prayers for Life with Copper.
For Life on WBNN. I'm Copper, your host. Glad you could join us this Sunday afternoon. Now it is time for us to share about some good stories that have happened while fighting for life.
It's time for our Frontlines highlight, stories from the fight for life.
This week, I want to highlight a local organization, the Huntsville Pregnancy Resource Center. Now, some of you may know there's actually only one operating abortion clinic in Huntsville, deceptively called the Alabama Women's Center, but it was still operating during COVID. As you remember, the churches were shut down, but the abortion centers were not. But all throughout COVID, the Pregnancy Resource Center continued operating, albeit at lower capacity. They were following all of the health guidelines, but there were still women in crisis, women who needed help, counseling, and they were there. They kept their doors open, and they helped young women through unexpected pregnancies. Now, that is one of the main services they offer. They offer counseling. They help give information to young women who are pregnant. They give free pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, and they help a woman plan for an unexpected pregnancy, like helping them sign up for Medicaid if they need help with their health bills and so on. So I want to share a success story that they had. Now, the names are changed. One of their client advocates said, Lori came in with her boyfriend after taking a test at home. She is a college student with a career path that she has been dreaming about. Having a baby, she feels, would not allow her to do that. Her boyfriend is supportive and admitted he feels responsible for where they are, but abortion seems like the only way, even though neither of them want to do that. While discussing all her options, Lori became very interested in hearing about open adoption. I was able to describe what that would look like in her case and the different agencies that we work with locally. I was also able to speak from my own perspective as an adoptive mom and my feelings toward my children's birth moms. I also encouraged her to have an ultrasound with the doctor a couple weeks later to get a better estimate on how far along she was and to aid in her decision-making process. A couple of days later, Lori sent a message to Anna, our adoption advocate on staff, via the website asking about more information on adoption. Anna scheduled an appointment for her to come to talk further. Anna ended up not being able to come in, so a pregnancy counselor from the adoption agency Lori chose came in and answered all her questions. Lori requested that her pregnancy counselor attend her ultrasound with her the following week. During the ultrasound, Lori was able to hear the heartbeat, and her desire for an abortion has really declined. The couple is still unsure about what direction they would like to take, but their hearts have been moved toward the life of their child, and they continue to be in contact with the adoption agency as they set up Medicaid and find a doctor. So that's just one story. The Huntsville Pregnancy Resource Center has been operating for 40 years, and in their recent report from just January to this July, they've offered over 1,000 pregnancy tests, done over 700 ultrasounds, over 1,000 appointments total, and so far 64 of their clients this year have chosen life for their babies. So they're doing a lot of good work over there. But that's not all they do. They don't just encourage and help women choose not to abort their baby. There's a narrative going around, which unfortunately a lot of pro-life people have internalized as well, the idea that people who are against abortion are only pro-birth, not pro-life. There's a lot of pushback from people who support abortion saying all you care about is getting the baby born and then you abandon them. You don't care about anything that happens afterwards. You don't care about the mother's situation or the father's situation. You just don't want to think about abortion. And that is entirely untrue. Pregnancy resource centers have so many resources to help, not just before and during the pregnancy, but after as well. The Huntsville Pregnancy Resource Center offers parenting classes. They help people after their birth with resources. They have a baby boutique where you can get clothes and car seats and diapers and everything you need for a newborn baby. I've even heard of some pregnancy resource centers offering to drive some of their clients to work if they don't have a vehicle or to help set up a free daycare system. Now, the Huntsville Pregnancy Resource Center doesn't do that, but their parenting classes have had some huge success. They also have a ministry aimed towards men so that they're not just reaching out to the woman, but to her partner. And that's often a huge deal and one of the biggest factors in getting a woman to choose life for their child. Now, the leader of their men's ministry, their director, shared this story. There is a father who has just finished the Parenting Partners course. He did not know what he was getting into and was not very interested in coming at first. His partner urged him to come in order to get the baby bucks that we use at our boutique. At first, he did not engage very much at all. Over time, he began to really connect. I attribute much of that connection to the fatherhood coaches who arrive early and greet these guys as they are coming in. However, I cannot say enough about how well the coaches are able to engage the men in conversation within the class structure. In his last class, this man said he has been encouraged by the sense of community that was created here. He said it really felt like the people genuinely cared. He is a man of few words. He said the class was good for him and encouraged us to keep doing it for others. Now, a lot of these men who are coming in came from single parent households. They maybe never knew their fathers and they really didn't know what to do hearing their partner was pregnant. And so this ministry, this men's ministry, is really helping support the fathers and teach them how to care for their partners and for their children. So don't believe that narrative that people who fight against abortion and encourage people to choose life for their child don't care about what happens afterwards, because that's not true. There's so much we can do to support these young couples, to show them that there's hope and that they can have a whole family and that they don't have to take such a drastic step as abortion. Now, an exciting event coming up that the Huntsville Pregnancy Resource Center is hosting is their Tiny Toes 5K Run. It's happening 2 months from now on October 23rd. It'll be in the morning. This is a way to help raise money for what the Huntsville Pregnancy Resource Center does. Or if you're listening from outside of Huntsville, if you Google Pregnancy Resource Center near me, you can find if there are any events closer to you or if there's any volunteer or donation needs. And even if you can't donate time or money, sometimes there are some super easy ways that you can help out. You can say a kind word, send an encouraging message, or the Huntsville Pregnancy Resource Center, they give out baby hats to every woman who tests positive for pregnancy. If you like crocheting or knitting, you can make up a little baby hat. Drop by, it'll make somebody's day. You can also sign up for their newsletter. That's where I found these positive success stories. It's very important to not just get caught up in the horrible stories we see in the news, but to remember that God is good and that we are seeing victory. 64 babies. That's how many lives were saved just since January at the Huntsville Pregnancy Resource Center. Remember, they've been operating for over 40 years now. They just had their 40th anniversary. Think of how many children that is that they helped. Think of how many families that is that they helped. We are seeing the goodness of God in the land of the living. This is important for all of us to remember. It's so easy to feel like we're losing, like we lost a long time ago. When Roe versus Wade came into law, we have lost legal cases. We do see horrible pictures and hear terrible stories about women killing their children, fathers abandoning their families. But that is not all. More and more people statistically are choosing life for their children. With the age of viability becoming earlier and earlier, with astounding scientific progress, we are seeing fewer people able to convince themselves that abortion is acceptable. I know that this is not due just to our work. We could not do it alone. It is due to God's hand in our country. It is due to faithful prayers, faithful workers, like people at the Huntsville Pregnancy Resource Center who have gotten up and said, this is evil. This is wrong. It is not good that these people are alone. We need to help them. We need to get up and say, this is enough. In this country, we serve the Lord. Now, I encourage you to learn more about this local ministry and to support what they're doing. You can find more information at huntsvilleprc.org. Now, we are going to a break in just a minute. When we come back, we will be joined by Matt Clark, the Executive Director of the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. We are going to discuss the upcoming Supreme Court case that hopes to overturn Roe versus Wade and Casey. So stay tuned if you want to hear more about the details, what we might expect from that case, and what you can pray for. Now, we are also looking for a sponsor for our show. If you're a business who cares about God and life, then get in touch with me at 7prayersforlife@gmail.com to talk about radio partnerships. This show is also supported by our listeners. If you are interested in keeping a Christian voice in the news, please consider supporting us on Patreon at Prayers for Life Radio. We'll be right back after a short break. Stay with us.
Prayers for Life on WBNN with Copper. Welcome back. Right now, we are joined by Matt Clark, the Executive Director of the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. Matt, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, not a problem, Copper. Thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely. Now, many of our listeners may have heard that this fall, the Supreme Court will hear Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization,
a case from Mississippi that many hope could overturn Roe versus Wade.
And you wrote a very helpful article for the Alabama Policy Institute
summarizing the case. Could you give us a brief explanation here of the case and include any recent significant developments?
Sure. So what's going on here is this all started when Mississippi passed a law that banned abortions after the baby reached 15 weeks. Now, under the Supreme Court's framework that it handed down in Roe versus Wade and then modified in Casey, it was illegal for a state to ban abortion before the baby reached the point of viability, which is the ability to survive outside the womb. It's not exactly down when the baby reaches the point of viability, but most people that you ask will say sometime between 20 to 24 weeks. So up until this point, it was presumed that anything before 20 weeks would be unconstitutional. So by going for the 15-week ban, Mississippi decided to launch a challenge to the Supreme Court's framework, and looks like it's the Supreme Court has agreed to take them up on that challenge. So this looks very good. We were concerned that when the Supreme Court agreed to hear it, that they would only consider pushing back a little bit on the viability framework, thinking, okay, maybe there's a way to, you know, justify this 15-week abortion ban without throwing out all of Roe and Casey and stuff like that. But we jumped in and asked the Supreme Court to take this opportunity to not only reevaluate the viability standard, but to throw Roe and Casey out altogether. And fortunately, Mississippi came along and did the exact same thing. So the challenge has been presented. It's on, and God willing, this will be the beginning of the end of Roe.
That would be great. I think not as many people are familiar with the Casey verdict. Can you tell us a little bit about the decision there and if the Mississippi case has a good chance of overturning that?
Sure. So the critical question that Casey presented was whether a state law that, you know, regulates abortion would present an undue burden on a woman's right to abort her baby. And the court said that there's an undue burden if the government places a substantial obstacle in the woman's way. So for things like requiring a woman to get an ultrasound 24 hours before an abortion, the Supreme Court held that's fine because, you know, in the grand scheme of things, having to wait one day and make sure that you're getting informed consent for what you're doing, the Supreme Court thought, yeah, that's not, you know, a substantial burden. But the problem still remains. Before viability, the government cannot stop abortions. So up until the baby can survive outside the womb, the Supreme Court said, yeah, at the end of the day, the woman still got the right to kill the baby. But through this particular case, Mississippi is launching a direct assault on that whole framework, which is something that I've been hoping, you know, a state government would do after Justice Kavanaugh replaced Justice Kennedy. And especially now that we've got Amy Coney Barrett that replaced Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I think right now we have 6 votes on the Supreme Court that would be willing to throw out Roe and Casey and just simply hold that the Constitution does not protect the right to abortion at all.
Absolutely. It does seem like a great chance. What are the possible outcomes of this case, and which do you find the most likely?
So there are several possibilities. I think we have 6 judges on the court that believe that, you know, the Supreme Court does not have the power to make up new rights under the Constitution. So I think those judges would look at this and would agree that the Constitution itself does not protect the right to an abortion. So that would raise several possibilities for the way this could come out. Number one, they could go all in and completely throw out Roe, Casey, and the whole abortion framework and simply hold that the Constitution does not protect the right to an abortion, which is what we've urged the court to do in our amicus brief that we filed, and this is what I'm praying that the court will do. And so that's very promising. It looks like, you know, that could actually happen in this case. There are a couple of other possible outcomes. I think the Supreme Court looking for a way to kick the can down the road a little bit. And there are two reasons for that. Number one, because the Democrats who right now hold both houses of Congress and the presidency have been discussing the possibility of court. Now, if anyone's not familiar with court packing, it refers to the president and the Senate, you know, putting more justices on the court than just the nine that are there right now. The Constitution itself does not actually specify how many justices have to be on the court. So technically, let's say if President Biden and the Senate wanted to appoint four more like liberal justices on the court, it's legal, but it's a very unwise move, because then we get stuck in a constant game of, all right, the next time the Republicans have the White House and the Senate, you know, we do the same thing, and then we go back and forth, and 50 years from now we have 100 justices on the Supreme Court, so everybody wants to avoid that. So despite the fact I think we have 6 votes to overrule Roe, the conservative justices might be afraid enough of the threat of court packing to where they issue a very narrow decision without closing the door on overruling Roe in the future. So that's the one thing that I'm really concerned about here. And then I think the third possible outcome is they could, if they really wanted to, they could blame Mississippi for exceeding the scope of the question they agreed to hear. Because the question they agreed to hear is whether all bans on pre-viability abortions are unconstitutional. And Mississippi went further than that, saying you ought to take this opportunity to throw Roe and Casey out altogether. So again, that could result in ruling in the abortionist's favor this particular time without closing the door in the future. So I think those are the three possibilities. You know, throw Roe and Casey completely out. Number two, issue a very narrow procedural decision. And then number three, rule in favor of the abortionists, but blame Mississippi for, going further than what the Supreme Court agreed to hear. So I think it all depends on, how gutsy the conservative justices on the court are willing to be.
Well, let's hope they have the guts. What happens if we do win? Some people think that overturning Roe versus Wade and Casey as well means that abortion will become illegal again. But what would such a victory actually look like?
So if Roe and Casey get overruled, then the only thing that the Supreme Court would hold is that the Constitution does not protect the right to an abortion. So at that point, it would become a state issue. Now here in Alabama, we passed a law after Justice Kavanaugh replaced Justice Kennedy that outlaws abortion and makes it a Class A felony, except in very, very limited circumstances. So in Alabama, about 99% of abortions would become illegal immediately. Other states like New York, are going the other way, where, they pass laws allowing abortion up until the moment of birth, which is very sad. So presumptively, it would go to a state. It would become a state's issue, and then the fight for life would have to be carried out at the state level. I am of the view that I think is a minority, but a vocal minority in pro-life circles, that the Constitution actually requires the opposite of Roe, which is just that the Constitution does not protect the right to an abortion, but it actually protects child's right to life. The Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment says that no state may deprive any person within their jurisdiction of the equal protection of the laws. So what that means is an unborn child is a person. This can't deprive them protection of the laws against murder that everybody else enjoys. So the states have two possibilities. They can either protect everybody from murder, which includes unborn babies, or they can protect nobody from murder, which would be very bad for everybody. I think if the court throws out Roe, it's probably not in a position right now where it would be willing to fully recognize the personhood of unborn children, which I hope they will one day. But right now, I think what's most realistically going to happen is it's going to go back to the states, and the states can make their own decisions on how to handle it.
Okay. What happens if we lose, if those cases are not overturned? Many other states, including Alabama, have, as you just mentioned, passed some abortion bans. Would the Human Life Protection Act have a chance of making it to the Supreme Court to challenge Roe again?
Yes, it could. The realistic chances of success are really dependent on why the Supreme Court goes the other way if it rules in favor of the abortionists. Again, I think we have 6 justices that are pro-life and believe that the Constitution does not actually protect the right to an abortion. So if they go the other way, I think it's going to be in a way that, you know, blames Mississippi for losing this particular case, but leaves the door open to challenging Roe and Casey in the future. Again, like I said, they could do that because they're afraid of court packing. So if Republicans retake the Senate in the midterms, I think at that point, if Alabama's, you know, Alabama's law went up to the Supreme Court, the court would be a lot more likely to hear the case and throw Roe out completely.
Okay, great. And last question here. About a month ago, 228 Republican lawmakers filed a brief urging the Supreme Court to overturn Roe versus Wade. And I'm sure many of their constituents had called and sent letters asking their representatives to take this step. Is there anything that we as citizens can do right now to support our lawmakers or this case going forward?
Well, as far as supporting the lawmakers, I would encourage everybody to look at that brief, see if your representative signed on to urging the Supreme Court to throw out Roe. And if they did, write to them and thank them. You know, a lot of times our elected officials don't hear from people until they make folks mad. And then that's 90% of what they hear is, you know, people mad at them and complaining. And they forget that there are actually a lot of people out there that support what they did. But, you know, they just didn't take the time to write and say thank you or anything like that. So, I would definitely encourage people to look at their representative. And if they signed on to that brief, call them and thank them. Beyond that, I would say just be praying for the Supreme Court. You know, the scripture says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it as streams of water wherever he pleases. So God is capable of giving the court the courage that it needs to throw out Roe and Casey. And, you know, if we pray for the justices, I think that's the biggest thing we can do for them right now.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Matt. And if our listeners want to find more about your writing and what you do at the Center for Law and Liberty, how can they find you?
So our website is alabamalawandliberty.org. Feel free to go there, check it out. Descriptions of the cases we're involved in, what we believe. We try to stay current with the news of what we've done. And then beyond that, we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So you guys can follow us there.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Matt.
All right. Thank you so much, Copper.
You're welcome. All right. We're going to go to a short break here. We will be back shortly with a bullet point prayer that you can pray this week,
asking God to end abortion in our country. Stay with us. For Life with Copper on WVNN. Thank you for joining us for this first edition of our show. Now, we were just speaking with Matt Clark, the executive director of the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty, and he left us with a lot of useful thoughts, a few predictions for the possible outcome of the challenge to Roe versus Wade that the Supreme Court will be hearing this fall. Now, it's expected that they might not reach a final verdict until the spring, and we don't know an exact date yet, but he left us with three possible outcomes. First, that Roe versus Wade would be overturned. Second, that the Supreme Court would kind of delay their decision but leave the door open for Roe versus Wade to be overturned in the future, which might give us a better chance of actually overturning it once we hopefully retake the House or the Senate, hopefully both. And the third option, they might say that Mississippi exceeded the limits of the case that they brought against them, that they shouldn't have tried to go as far as challenging Roe versus Wade, that wasn't the point of the case. What do you think is the most likely outcome? We are all praying, hoping that Roe versus Wade will just be overturned straight away, because it might take years for another court to make its way through the Supreme Court. The Alabama Human Life Protection Act would go immediately into effect if Roe versus Wade is overturned, which would mean that potentially thousands of children's lives could be saved that otherwise would be lost if we had to wait for another chance to overturn Roe versus Wade. So let us pray for that outcome. But if you have other thoughts, other predictions, you can weigh in by emailing me at 7prayersforlife@gmail.com or by leaving a comment on Facebook or Twitter. Now let us pray together for victory against abortion. When Jesus' disciples asked him how to pray, he gave them the Lord's Prayer. So that is the format I'm going to use for our bullet point prayers.
And now, a bullet point prayer for your week.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You are our great Father and King. You are compassionate and merciful, caring for the weak and weary. You are just and righteous, making laws far more beautiful and true than our own. Thy kingdom come. How we long for a world with no pain and death. Make your goodness visible to us on this earth. Crush evil. Show the world that you are a far better king than any other. Defeat those who break your law. How long, O Lord, must we suffer such horrors? Come, Lord Jesus. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You desire families to be whole and loving, for couples to be faithful to one another, and children to be treasured. Let this happen in our country today. Make your vision for our families a reality. Give us this day our daily bread. Overturn the evil laws, Roe and Casey. Let all murder become illegal in our country again. Grant our lawmakers the courage to stand up for what is right. In the meantime, help those ministering to vulnerable mothers and fathers. Holy Spirit, guide their words and actions. Let them show your endless love to those in need and meet the needs of these families and babies. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us for growing weary of doing good. We have felt hopeless, like there is nothing we can do to change our laws or to stop the murder of the helpless. We have given up, caused division with angry words, and our actions have not matched our beliefs. Forgive us for our inaction and our lack of faith that you are greater than all the evil in the world. Lead us not into temptation. Do not let us wallow in despair or pride. Keep us from vengeful words and actions. Do not let us grow complacent and forget the needs of the people in our own communities. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the devil who whispers that these things do not matter, that our daily worries are more important, and that these lives are not our concern. Deliver us from callousness and self-indulgence. Deliver the babies who are forgotten. Deliver the mothers who are abandoned and the fathers who are afraid. Deliver us from abortion. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
We invite you to take a moment to pray with us each week.
I encourage you all to commit to pray alongside me. Now, I am calling these bullet point prayers because I mean to pull them out, make 7 points each week, and I will post these on Facebook and Twitter, and I'm going to get a newsletter up as well so that you can print out the sheet with 7 points on it to pray. You can stick it on your fridge. You can put it on a sticky note and put it on your steering wheel so you can pray it while you're brushing your teeth in the morning or as you're making your coffee. I will also pull out this audio clip at the end. So if you want, you can play it back on your phone, listen to this prayer again, and pray along in agreement. And I encourage you to commit to a specific number of times to pray each week. God wants us to be consistent in prayer, to be unceasing, to not let him go. Jacob prayed all night wrestling with God to grant him his request. Daniel, when he was troubled at a vision, he prayed and mourned for 3 weeks. That's 7 days times three. Ezekiel as well said that he prayed for 7 days, and at the end of that, the Lord came to him and spoke to him. Habakkuk, he cried out to God. He complained at the wickedness of his land. He says, "Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing?" And then he says, "I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what God will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint, his complaint against injustice." Psalm 119 is one of the longest psalms in the Bible, and the author repeats over and over again that he meditated on God's word throughout the night, that he prayed at the dawn, and they even say, 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous laws. This is a consistent theme in Scripture, that if we are persistent, if we are complete in our prayers, if we do not give up, if we wrestle with God, that he will grant our request. So I encourage you alongside me to pray this bullet point prayer with me each day this week, leading up to the challenge to Roe versus Wade, which will save millions of lives in our country. May it be so. Thank you so much for joining us today for Prayers for Life. Don't forget to join us again next Sunday at 3 p.m. If you missed part of the show, you can also find us online at Audio Boom on WVNN's page. Have a blessed week, and I'll see you next Sunday at 3 p.m.
This has been Prayers for Life with Copper.